Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
From Montana to Mahomes, his call has been synonymous with Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
He's the voice of the Chiefs kingdom, and he joins The Drive every Monday at 4.
You can't doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike the Chiefs! You can disrespect the Chiefs! You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs!
Here's Mitch Holthus.
We are very happy to be joined in studio by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearances are brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association, Incorporated, and also by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Mitch, how are you doing today, my man?
Oh, well, you know, been better, but the 10th edition of Mahomes against Allen, it was great environment, game that was kind of what we thought it was going to be a little bit, but still a chance to win, and opportunities were there. So disappointed on this day, but we'll going into the bye, we'll get revved up.
So let's at least start here, because I'm curious to kind of get your thoughts on this. Somebody who has been to every stadium in the NFL at this point. I'm guessing it's different when the Chiefs appear there. Like, we had the Bills sideline reporter, and he said that the Buffalo Bills in the offseason, they build their team specifically to try to beat Kansas City. I bet if you walk around Buffalo tailgates and you ask them, what team do you hate the most? What team do you dislike the most? I'm guessing that Kansas City is the most popular answer. What is it like to walk in Chiefs garb into that stadium for Mahomes Allen, another iteration in their classic series?
You realize it's still like OJ's stadium. Now, this is the last year. They're building the new stadium next, right next across the street from it. But that is, you walk through the crowd to get up to your vantage point or to get out of there. And it was a little bit of a challenge to get out of there last night, try to get down to the field to do our postgame shows. But, you know, there's some charm to the fans. There's some that are just completely, you know, off the chain. But it's pretty intense there, I will tell you that. Hard place to get in and out of. You know, we're on the buses, but even so, I had friends and Bob here, who's was at the game in from Odyssey, and it's just like two-lane roads to get in and out of there. It's just different, man. There's literally nothing like that in the NFL.
If you had to, like, let's say somebody comes up to you, and I'm sure this happens. It's going to happen at Hy-Vee today. Hey, why do you think the Chiefs lost yesterday? What would your answer be? Because mine would be, I thought that Buffalo controlled the game on the line of scrimmage on both sides. I thought they controlled it on the offensive side and the defensive side, and especially on the defensive side. They got after Mahomes in a way. They made Kansas City one-dimensional, where Kansas City essentially didn't run the ball in the second half of the game. And I thought that really disrupted the timing of an offense that had been flying high for the last couple of weeks. That's my answer. What's your answer on why the Chiefs lost yesterday?
Well, I think that's a pretty good answer. So going back to the fans of saying they want to beat the Chiefs more than anybody else, that game was also a group of individuals that wanted to be the Chiefs more than anybody else. Joey Bosa is now a Bill. He was on a mission to wreck that game. And his reaction and emotion, I had a friend that sat very close to him in Super Bowl 54 when his brother was playing against us for the 49ers. And he, Joey pretty much gave his thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs at the time. And I think he's now 3-10 after his time with the Chargers. But I think Rousseau, Epinesa, all those guys, even the DBs played at a really high level, and they had injuries. But I think the offensive line of the Bills, which is very good, which has been dictating terms in their six wins all year long, really got after it last night. And then I think scheme-wise, they had some really good schemes where they isolated those tight ends. And we talk about it tonight on the show with Coach Reed a little bit, but the fact that, I mean, you get 150 yards out of three tight ends is noteworthy. So I think their schemes were very good. They overloaded on some blitzes. They would overload one side or the other, usually the Chiefs' right side when the Chiefs had the ball, and had some unique blitz concepts and just completely caved in or just outmanned and caused timing to be off offensively.
I like the phrase that you use about dictating terms, because I think that's a perfect phrase to kind of use when it comes to the Bills. I think about when the Chiefs play the Ravens, and sometimes I think the Ravens kind of get out of who they are. They don't run the football effectively, and they just try to turn into something that they're not. I give Buffalo a lot of credit going up against a run defense that has been very, very good this season and been good over the last year and a half or so. I thought it was pretty clear that Buffalo's mentality is, we think we're the best rushing team in the NFL, and we don't care what the numbers say. We don't think you guys can stop it. There wasn't a lot of trickeration. This was a lot of, we're going to run the ball between the tackles, or we're going to run a little bit of a toss play, a sweep, and allow James Cook to make decisions. They never got away from running the football, and they really used that to kind of dictate the fight.
No, but that can change with certain circumstances. Now, I agree with you. But that's what they've kind of done all year. That's why they've changed their modus operandi to be more. They're really like the Eagles and the Ravens now. That's what it reminds me of when I was doing the game prep for them. But then they are able to use play action and scheming to get those tight ends open, especially. But it was all based on their run game. Now things could have changed in that vein if the Chiefs take advantage of the opportunities. And Coach Reed talks about it tonight on the show that you have an opportunity, a couple opportunities to go up 14-7. You have to settle for the field goal, the 46-yard field goal. If you're up 14-7, they'll stay with it. But now it's like you're playing tennis and you're up 40-30. The other time was the Chiefs had a couple of opportunities when it's still a one-possession game. Not getting the touchdown at the end of the half after you get the kind of miraculous 40-yarder down there to the one, and you can't get in there. And actually, the first down play, as I reviewed it on video, was the dooming play. But there's 4 points you take off the board. Have to settle for the three. But in the third quarter, you get stops, and you have two possessions where you're only down one possession. If you get the any one of those, or you even tie it to get an eight at the point, or seven, then all of a sudden the psychology of the game changes, even for a running team like that. Let's just take the Ravens, the AFC Championship game of 2023. They had not trailed all year by two possessions. When Butker hit the long field goal right before the half, you would have thought the Ravens were down by 30 instead of 10. Last night, that could change. Even with the Buffalo approach and how good they were for the most part in the evening, you get ahead of that team. You get ahead of that team by 10 points. All of a sudden now that changes the psychology of that Buffalo approach.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob and I are on completely different sides about the end of the first half. I agree with what the Chiefs did, and a major reason why I agree with it is the Chiefs get the ball at the beginning of the second half. So I understand you're behind and you're chasing theoretically, but there's no need to chase then at that point. You're down 21-10. You run the ball on first down with Kareem Hunt, which has been one of the most successful plays in the league. It doesn't work. You let Mahomes try it a couple of times. You try to go to Kelce on third down. You don't have a timeout. It's fourth down. You take the points and you are about to get the ball right back because there were 3 seconds left in the end of the first half. So basically the next possession of the game, you get the ball right back there at that point. So I didn't feel the need to try to go for it and potentially roll the dice. Rob is on the other side. The text line is strongly on the other side of this argument. Where are you at in how the Chiefs handled the final 30 seconds of the first half?
Where's Rob? There he is. I disagree with you, Rob. I agree with you, C-Dot, which is one of the few times that's happened because of the very scenario you gave and the fact that you don't want to come up dry there. You don't want to – I'm going to get into a whole thesis, and that's going to be my bye week work, is looking at drive possessions and also four-point turnarounds, four-point plays, which is what Spags calls them, if you get held to a field goal instead of a touchdown. But I'm with you on the play got foiled on first down. Looking back at that play, it was the execution on first down. And in watching the video, and it can change week to week, but running the ball left was better than running the ball right last night for whatever reason. But not getting the first down, you only have one timeout left. So you're really limited now because you have to call timeout after that play, and now you got to really throw the ball. If you get sacked or run and get stopped short, you maybe don't get a playoff, or you have a run on field goal. So I'm with you. You're going to get the ball. It's the doomed next possession, the first possession of the third quarter. It's going back to the Jacksonville game. The issue wasn't settling for three at the end of the second quarter. It was not doing anything with that first possession of the third quarter, where, again, even if you get seven and get within one, you now shift the pressure of that game, the dictating terms. I now change if we're playing cards and you call diamonds as a suit, I'm changing it to clubs. And in that scenario, you could do it, but it did not happen. And then Buffalo kind of stayed in that comfort zone then throughout the evening.
Yeah, that's where I am. I mean, the Chiefs clearly played for the double up there. We get the ball right back on the second half. But
it's what you do. Really, the analytics tell you on the double up to kick the field goal.
But they went three and out on the next drive.
That's
so
the
like
problem.
That's the second end of it. You played for a potential of 14 points. You scored a touchdown on each of them. You ended up with three points there, yeah, where you maybe could have got 10 and we're having a completely different conversation. To me, that's more of where things went wrong is there's nothing wrong with playing for the three at the end of the first half, but you played to try to capitalize at the beginning of the second half. You didn't capitalize, and that was kind of one of those shifts in power in the way that this game played out.
And there's going to be games probably the rest of the way here, most of them. Think about this. You have to settle for the field goal there. All right, I'm good with it. We're on agreement with that, disagreeing with Rob. That's four. The second possession where you had a chance to take the 14-7 lead, and that drive gets squashed, and you have to settle for the 46-yard field goal. That's 8 points. What'd you lose by? Seven. So in these games that are so tight that feel like playoff games in the regular season, those four-point plays or the 4 points you don't get, because Spags talks about them on defense, digging in and holding them to a three and not a seven, those become paramount in games like this.
You mentioned execution. A lot of people wish the Chiefs had run under center in that scenario. Is that what you're talking about? Just the kind of confusion on that play, the hunt short yardage play has been basically a gimme. It's been an automatic for this team. They get stopped there. A lot of people wish they had run the ball under center.
Yeah, maybe, but I think you also could look at, if their hindsight's 20/20 on those, the Chiefs have been so good on the jet sweeps or the fake jet sweep RPO, where you've got three options maybe, even at a yard away. If I'm in the shotgun, let's say I've got Hunt, they'd run this a lot too, but I'll bring a guy in motion, mate fake into him, but it freezes that front side, and then you run an RPO, either Pat keeps it, pulls and throws it, or Hunt goes, but that might be, if they had hindsight, instead of running what they ran, they could run something that's going to freeze the outside guys with motion, jet sweep, flip pass sort of thing.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not using this as an excuse. This felt like the first time that they really missed Joshua Simmons. It just felt like you wanted to have your full, complete complement of weapons. I think Jalen Moore has been a fine addition, but I also think it's been kind of noted.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Who the better of the left tackles are, and this was the first time since he's been gone that I thought the Chiefs really could have used Joshua Simmons' presence.
The top two strengths of the Buffalo Bills are obvious. One's Josh Allen, and two is James Cook. Next is a collection of those outside guys. Their defense is totally predicated now on Greg Rousseau, A.J. Epenesa, and Joey Bosa. They were all really good last night. If you look at the five wins Buffalo has had in the regular season against Patrick Mahomes, those guys have been a factor in one way, shape, or form. 21, Rousseau gets a tip pass for an interception on the opening drive. Epenesa gets something very similar in 23. Last night it was all of them. And they attacked outside again with that kind of seven technique where they line up way outside the shoulders of the tackles. They are so long and so quick, all three of those guys, that became a force last night that was a challenge to deal with.
One major detail in this game is what you just said. The Bills' defensive line was able to really disrupt timing on the Kansas City
offense.
Especially
on the outside.
And it wasn't the case on the other side. Josh Allen dropped back 26 times. He completed 23 of those passes. He didn't turn the football over, played a relatively clean game. Self-explanatory, if you're not going to get after the other team's quarterback and that team is going to run the football for 115 yards with James Cook, just really hard to slow them down. How do you evaluate how the defensive line played, how the pass rush played? And we'll get to the linebackers here in a bit.
I think first half, second half are two different stories. You end up getting a couple big stops. In fact, you got back-to-back sacks on Josh Allen, which is really hard to do when McDuffie had a really nice blitz call. He's still the best slot blitzer in this league. He's nearing a Chiefs record in that regard for DBs. I mentioned that on the play-by-play last night. And then Chanel's sack was big time on that play. So it was scheme and execution. So there were stops of Josh Allen. It was more the first half of them basically feeling like they were doing whatever they wanted to do. And that was, again, scheming those tight ends into big plays. This is not a big play passing Bills offense. And so they've changed the way they played. Well, last night they took and even added something to it. I didn't see those routes in my preparation, but the fact that Kincaid looked like Travis Kelce, a couple years ago. So that to me was the bigger issue in the first half, and them getting on a bicycle and pedaling real fast, and all of a sudden the Chiefs not taking advantage of those opportunities I mentioned earlier two paragraphs ago. Now, all of a sudden, you're not slowing them down or stopping them, and you're now down and chasing the points all night.
Let's talk about the linebackers. I thought it was clear where offensively Buffalo was trying to really attack and kind of getting Dalton Kincaid isolated against certain players. I thought they were very, very effective in doing that. What did you see from the linebackers on Sunday?
Well, and again, there was adjustments made in the second half where those guys weren't exactly just going free in the middle of the field. I think where Spags takes a look at the bi-week self-scout will be, he has so many, he's so creative, and he's got so many combinations of safeties and corners, whether it's nickel or dime or base. I think that he could look at, they could look at what combinations are best. Some of it's going to be opponent-specific, and it going into Denver, holy cow, you're playing a Buffalo team again, but they're doing it even better with their short passing game. And so that area of the field from 8 to 12 to 15 yards becomes critical, and especially against Denver. So I think it's Spags looking at whatever combination he has between safeties, corners, and linebackers, and whatever call he's got with whatever, if he's nickel, dime, or base, of looking at that and what gives him the best chance to succeed for the most part for the rest of the year. And the combinations could change, and it could change on opponent.
That's as poorly as I can remember Patrick Mahomes playing. Just Disruption, timing, 15 of 34. It was the first time in his career that he was completing less than 50% passing in the first half of the game. I felt like the Chiefs just really didn't have much of an intermediate passing game. It was kind of deep vertical down the field. The Chiefs kind of got away from running the football. They also just didn't run it very successfully in the second half. I looked it up. They had 6 carries for 14 yards in the second half of the game. Their offense was Mahomes trying to make big plays down the field, and either the offensive line or pass rush from the Bills didn't really allow that. What were you seeing from Patrick Mahomes? One thing I kind of see from him is, I don't know if he is anticipating pressure or seeing pressure, but it's not necessarily stepping up in the pocket. It's kind of moving things around. I think some of that is an effect from what happened against Tampa Bay a few years back. And I just think he has been a different quarterback to me whenever the other team is having a lot of success with their defensive line after that game.
Well, I won't entirely agree with that. Parts of it I would. I mean, he still made some incredible plays. We had Jet Chip Wasp again, 4th and 17 for 30. He makes the 40 to Hollywood Brown to give a chance to score to set up the first and goal at the 1 at the end of the second quarter. He made unusual plays last night that I don't think anybody else in the league can make. Now, the pressure on the outside, the intermediate passing game, it's also kind of obvious that I'm not sure you can get the ball into Rashee Rice's hands enough, and even as a runner. Like the Wildcat play, you can't run that all the time, but the play at the goal line was really effective. But to give a different look in the inside run game, because the issues, I think, in the run game were mainly on the perimeter runs, the zone stretch type look. But there was some productivity with the inside runs for the most part. But even to get Rice involved as a running back even more isn't out of the realm of possibility without giving him too many touches and risking injury.
I don't think that the one individual loss to Buffalo is that big of a deal. I don't think it really derails you from anything that you're trying to do. But, I mean, this is a very interesting stretch for the Chiefs where I would say outside of themselves, they play the 3 best teams in the AFC. They play Denver coming up after the bye week. They play Indianapolis, and they just played the Buffalo Bills. So for me right now, it's not about maybe the individual one. It's about staying competitive in the division as Denver continues to be very, very consistent. The Chargers are right there. Now we'll see what they look like now with the Joe Alt injury, and they also don't have Rashawn Slater. And it's also about staying competitive for the one seed. Now, I know the Chiefs have proven they can go on the road in the postseason, but I don't want a scenario in which the Chiefs are the 5 seed or the 6 seed, and now you got to go on the road against 3 very good teams and back-to-back-to-back weeks. I just don't think that's your ideal path to trying to get back to the Super Bowl.
2021 becomes a good study. You know what the Chiefs were after 9 games that year?
I'm assuming 5-4.
5-4.
Yeah.
And then they went on a run. Now, this gauntlet coming up, and it's a gauntlet of offensive line. That's another minute with Mitch I'm going to do. You're really facing, when you talk about the top offensive or our top teams in the AFC, you're facing the next 3 weeks, 3 of the probably top 5 or 6, because I'll put Dallas in that category. But Denver's offensive line is really, really good. And then the Indianapolis offensive line, even though they got handled yesterday a little bit by the Steelers, is their top 5. That's what you're going up against here in the next couple of weeks. But, and you also have to realize you're 2-3 against the AFC at this point. You lose a tiebreaker to Jacksonville. But the dumbest thing people do is to put up a full screen, whether it's on social media or traditional media, and go, if the playoffs ended today, this is the way it looks. It's stupid. That's dumb. It has no effect. Like, these next 8 weeks are going to be full of drama. And the Chiefs have work to do, but everybody understands that. But we've seen them respond in the past to be really good in the second half of seasons, even against elite competition. So I think I'm more excited about these next 8 games and starting with the Denver game, because I think that's going to be a heck of a game. But we've gone back and forth to woe is me and woe is me to, oh, they're the Super Bowl favorites. Now it's woe is me again. Just take it week by week and attack the next one.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holtis. Mitch, I'll get you out of here with this. You got Chiefs Kingdom coming up today. Who's your guest today? Where are you going to be at?
We're going to be at 135th Street, Overland Park, which is very near like the Blue Valley Recreation Complex down there, and Blue Valley Northwest High School, really close. That's where we're going to be. We'll hear from Coach Reed. We'll get some comments from him. And then Kevin Lockett is going to be our guest tonight. So he's so involved in the community. I don't know how many boards that dude's on, but he's got such an impact on our community. Of course, former Chiefs, former K-State legend. But we got to deal with the big issue tonight with him. You know what it is?
No, what is it?
Tyler Lockett, his son, is an 11th-year pro. Great Seahawk.
Oh, he just signed with the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yeah, he just signed with the Raiders. Okay,
dude,
yeah.
What do we got? I mean, that's. I'm going to talk to his dad tonight. Like, what do we got going on here?
Because if there was one thing he knew from his kid, I would say there was two places he knew he couldn't go. He couldn't go to KU to play football. He couldn't go play for the Raiders. Those are two things that were beating Tyler Lockett from the very beginning.
I'm telling you. So tonight, that'll be an issue of, like, what happened, you know? So I got a feeling, though, he probably's cashing the check. That's okay. And his old coach from Seattle's with the Raiders. But still, when that happened, I'm like, what? What's going on here in the world?
That is Mitch Holtz, his voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us in studio. Mitch is brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association Incorporated, and Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Mitch, what do you have planned for your bye week? You get a couple of days to kind of relax. Nah, now, I know you got to get ready for the Broncos game. You get a head start on. That's a big game for the Chiefs.
It's
what do you got coming up?
No, I'm busy. I'm working until Wednesday night. There's a big event Hy-Vee's doing. It's a huge awards deal. It's a really cool evening. But then I'm shutting it down. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, even next Monday, we don't have a Kingdom show. And I'll be working on...
I'm not going to see you then for a while.
No, you ain't seeing me.
Yeah, I'm not going to see
gone.
You for a while.
Okay, take a look. All right? Use your phone. Take a shot. Because Mitchie's out of here. I'll tell you that. We'll be shutting the engines down. Going to help my dad. He's 93 years old. And so I'll be with him. Catch up with him a little bit.
That is Mitch Holtz, his voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll catch up with you after the Broncos game. The Chiefs have a very interesting November. They just played the Buffalo Bills. They got the Colts. They got the Broncos. And then they played Thanksgiving. It's been a while since you worked on Thanksgiving, right? It's been a while. That Broncos game, 2012, 2011?
I don't know. No, it was something. I thought we had Thanksgiving recently. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's all been together. We're Tuesdays at 9, Wednesdays at 8. I don't know when we play. Every day is when we play.
That is Mitch Holtz joining us on the show today. Mitch said something really interesting that I want to talk about. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.